It was the Feast of the Transfiguration, August the 6th, 1945, in Hiroshima, Japan. A short, wiry, 37-year-old Basque Jesuit priest served as the director of novices for Japanese novices on the outskirts of the city of Hiroshima. He tells what happened that morning. The roof tiles, bits of glass, and beams had scarcely ceased falling, and the deafening roar died away when I rose from the ground and saw before me the wall clock still hanging in its place, but motionless. Its pendulum seemed nailed down. It was 8:10. For me, that silent and motionless clock has been a symbol. The explosion of the first atomic bomb has become a para-historical phenomenon. It is not a memory. It is a perpetual experience outside history, which does not pass with the ticking of the clock. The pendulum stopped, and Hiroshima has remained engraved on my mind. It has no relation with time. It belongs to motionless eternity. A shock in a time of war, a terrible explosion of extraordinary power, these always leave an impression. For me, at that first moment, it was just one more explosion. What did we know of the atomic bomb? We were ignorant of what that solitary B-29 had carefully laid at a height of 1,700 feet in the semi-transparent atmosphere on that cloudy August morning. The Jesuit priest was Pedro Arrupe. We celebrate this week the 100th anniversary of his birth. Our Jesuit community in this university bears his name and is dedicated to him. Born in the same northern region of Spain and bearing a remarkable likeness to St. Ignatius of Loyola, who founded the Jesuits in 1540, Father Pedro Arrupe went on to become, from 1965 to 1983, the 28th Superior General of the Society of Jesus after Ignatius, who was the first Superior General of the Jesuits. Those 18 years were the exciting, demanding, confusing first 18 years after the Second Vatican Council. I view Pedro Arrupe as the Ignatius of Loyola of our era, the refounder of the Jesuits for a global, nuclearized, contemporary age. I do not believe I would still be a Jesuit if it were not for Pedro Arrupe. Nor do I believe that Seattle University would be the kind of university it is, with its mission of empowering leaders for a just and humane world, but for him. He is the greatest person I have known in my life, and there is no individual I would wish more that our students could have met than Pedro Arrupe. I was privileged to pronounce my final vows as a Jesuit into his hands 29 years ago this month. Pedro Arrupe lit up and led us along the way we are following today. And so it is right that he be remembered on this 100th anniversary of his birth in this chapel of St. Ignatius, just as he is now buried in the same church as is Ignatius in Rome, a church called simply, but appropriately for both of them, the Jesus Church. If it were not for Hiroshima, there would not have been Pedro Arrupe, this visionary, contagiously alive, mystical pioneer. Hiroshima placed him at the cross point of the modern world and placed him there with Christ on the cross. Here is how he describes its meaning. The oven of Hiroshima has become a fixed satellite in the stratosphere, accompanying the Earth in its course around the sun. It is like a latter-day sword of Damocles hanging over mankind. Its sinister light, capable of destroying the retina of anyone staring it in the face, is an illuminating and discriminating power greater than that of the X-ray. In the midst of so much destruction, confusion, and corruption, the dark mystery of atomic radiation renders the screen of humanity clarescent, revealing both the fleshy futility of that which disappears like a shadow and the solidity firmer than bone of spiritual values. Atomic energy is destroying matter, discloses its instability, while making the spirit stand out with its features more strongly pronounced. In leading us to the central core of matter, atomic physics confronts us with the limits of the material universe. It impels us towards interiority, towards searching for the very root of being and of matter. It is a decisive step inward. When will the day come on which man reaches the final stratum of matter and is able to glimpse, as if through a delicate tissue, a new reality encased in all being, the divine reality? Above all, when will we discover that in the core of his person there lives that divine reality? For this he will need a flash of light far more powerful than that which blinded us at Hiroshima. The light of faith, which illumines without blinding, because it is both powerful and gentle. On that day, when man discovers through the light of faith God in himself and in his fellow men, and sees that this God does indeed live and is a God of love, wars and violence will cease and hatred will be no more. God will be seen as the cause of true union and human happiness. On that day will be born a new humanity, that of the children of God. Pedro Arrupe was a man who was chosen to be there when the world broke in two. When in the breaking, a light revealed the truth about the world and about God active in the world. He saw the X-ray of humanity at this breaking apart of the worlds, as had Paul of Tarsus, Augustine of Hippo, Ignatius of Loyola, Teresa of Avila, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, and Mother Teresa, who also witnessed worlds breaking in two. His vision is of time stopping as the screen of humanity is made clarescent in a divine X-ray, showing the futility of all in humanity that we rely on but that falls away, and the solid, permanent skeleton of humanity, which is our divine core, God in our humanity. He perceived by faith a greater light than the atomic flash, God making us all children, God's children, leading us with Christ at the head to the kingdom. Pedro Arrupe was the man there at the crossroads of our contemporary world, experiencing by faith with Christ on the cross the inhumanity of our ages crucifying the divine human humanity of all people. Pedro was the man who was there and saw, so that he might lead the Jesuits into a new vision, and with them lead our university to a new mission. Pedro was the man who was there and saw, and thus inspired the two most important sentences of the Jesuits in the last 200 years. Quote, "What is it to be a Jesuit? It is to know that one is a sinner, yet called to be a companion of Jesus, as Ignatius was. What is it to be a companion of Jesus today? It is to engage under the standard of the cross in the crucial struggle of our time, the struggle for faith, and that struggle for justice which it includes. Let me tell you two stories about Pedro Arrupe. The first, a personal one. The second one is told me. In the fall of 1973, I was in my third and my last year of theology before I was ordained a priest. I was studying at the Jesus College in Rome. Pedro Arrupe was the Superior General of the Jesuits. The head of communications for the Society of Jesus, a man named Father Stefan Bamberger, wanted to experience with a new way of communicating among Jesuits worldwide using the very latest technology of 1973. The very hot and revolutionary idea was to video a group of young American Jesuits in Rome in conversation with Pedro Arrupe, the rock star of the Jesuits, and to send the video by airmail to a similar group of young Jesuits in Boston for them to record and send back their own video conversation. That was the latest technology of 1973. Father Bamberger gave me a call, and he came to see me, and he asked if I would choose and gather the young American Jesuits from our Jesus College in Rome, and if I would facilitate a video conversation with Pedro in our own college's living room. We were free to choose whatever subject we might want. We chose, quote, "Father Arrupe, what do you think about how Jesuits in America are living their vow of poverty?" Father Bamberger coached us that we needed to ask the hard questions. Don't let Father Arrupe be too spiritual, he told us. Don't let him take you to the poor Jesus on the cross. So our gang practiced the tough questions. We pumped one another up. We were ready for a conversation with Pedro Arrupe, who just happened to be the most inspiring person of our lives. We were determined to put the man of Hiroshima on the spot. It would be like talking to the Dalai Lama, or to Mother Teresa, or to Pope John Paul II over coffee and trying to nail them. Pedro came across Rome from the Jesuit headquarters to our Jesus College, and he sat among us around a low table with Italian espresso coffee. The camera began to run. We were on. I led into the topic, and Pedro said something like, "Our failure to live poverty is a mortal wound in the side of the Society of Jesus." One of the guys, Ben, jumped in. "Yes, Father General, that's nice, but what do you think about American Jesuits having credit cards?" Father Pedro Arrupe said the local Jesuit superior knew better, and that maybe the poor Christ on the cross was calling those Jesuits to use credit cards totally for their apostolic work for others. We were losing. The sand was slipping out from underneath our feet. So Chuck from Boston, who just happened to have the best supply of scotch in his own room, shot back, "But Father Arrupe, what is your opinion about American Jesuits having beer kegs in their recreation room? Is that poverty?" Pedro replied that what was important was not beer kegs in the community recreation room, but that the community of Jesuits not be like the apostles who fled from the foot of the cross where the poor Christ hung, saving them and the whole of humanity. And off he went on the poor Christ. We had lost. Pedro won. End of the tough questions about American Jesuit poverty. You know, credit cards, beer kegs, cars, vacations, clothing, entertainment, none of that. He took us to the heart of his vision, a vision of faith from the revealing light of Hiroshima. The vision of a man who was there at Hiroshima and always saw, because of that, the divine x-ray of humanity. and because of that was always in faith on Golgotha with Christ on the cross. The other story is one that was told me. They told me that the 46 presidents of the Jesuit high schools in the United States were gathered in a Midwestern city. And Father Arupe was in the country, and he came and he spoke to them. And it came to the question and answer period with this jovial, humorous, spirited man, this man that radiated hope and energy and generosity and that total take-it-on kind of vitality. And one president rather eagerly asked Pedro, quote, "Father General, what do you like most about being Superior General of the Jesuits?" The questioner expected an answer about, "I like the travel. I like meeting the great people that I meet. I like the regular conversations I have with the Pope. I like the opportunity to give speeches around the world. Or I like to be able to shape the future of the Jesuits." Pedro looked at the questioner and asked him, "Are you serious? Do you really want to know what I like best about being the general of the Jesuits?" The man said, "Yes." Pedro replied softly and considerately, "What I like best about being Superior General is that it gives me a greater share in the cross of Christ." Gulp. Gasp. Silence. No more questions. If among the apostles, the original companions of Jesus, Ignatius of Loyola was like Peter, then Pedro Arupe was most like Paul, an apostle born out of time, ripped untimely from the womb, knocked also like St. Paul, literally to the ground, by a flash of light and an explosion in the air, placed with the crucified Christ at the crossroads of the world, given an X-ray of how God is redeeming the world through Christ, through us in Christ, through our surrender in our humanity with Christ to God. Ultimately, Pedro Arupe was who he is for us as Jesuits and for us as a Jesuit university, because by faith he perceived in the flash of Hiroshima the X-ray that it is really all about what God is doing in us, in our world itself, to make us his children in the kingdom. That's a vision, and that's a God to whom to surrender oneself and one's whole life. Pedro Arupe, whose 100th anniversary of birth we celebrate, tried all his life to give himself over to God, the God he glimpsed in the clarescence of our humanity at Hiroshima. After being laid low, nearly speechless, incapacitated for 10 years by a stroke, lying helpless in the infirmary room of the very Jesuit headquarters in Rome, where he had inspired and led the Jesuits into a new era, into our era, and into our mission, his final words before he died in 1991 were these: "More than ever, I find myself in the hands of God. That is what I have wanted all my life from my youth. But now there is a difference. The initiative is entirely with God. It is indeed a profound spiritual experience to know and feel myself so totally in God's hands." Pedro Arupe was the man who was there at Hiroshima, there at the head of the Jesuits in a new era, there in the end, totally in the hands of God. The first, a terrible place. The second, an inspiring place. The last, the only truly good and safe place.